Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Wednesday, June the 13th. As for the first time in a while, I get to come to you after back-to-back Philadelphia Phillies victories as the Phillies win one of the crazier games of the season so far yesterday in the first game of this series with the Rockies, a 5-4 thriller, you could say, more like a heart palpitation type of game. One of those games where it felt like it was in the bag until it totally wasn't. And to their credit, the Phillies find a way to win the game. We'll break it all down as the Phillies improve to 34-30. For a little perspective, the Phillies got their 34th win of the season last year on July 20th. Third, that is insane. So the Phillies at 34-30. They do not gain a game on the Braves as the Braves beat the Mets handily 8-2. But they do gain a game on the Nats, who fall to the New York Yankees 3-0. Two teams the Phillies will see later this month, as we've chronicled in depth this brutal month of June that they are in the midst of. But the Phillies now 3-7 in June after back-to-back victories for the first time since May 17th, which is kind of insane in and of itself. But the Phillies find a way to get it done yesterday, and now two back of the Nats and three back of the Braves. There's your optimism right there when you look at it. The Phillies really in a... We've been talking about them being in a tailspin coming into yesterday, a 4-11 record in their last 15, and everyone's kind of freaking out, but it can change quickly. And again, as I've said many times over, in my mind, all they need to do is kind of tread water through the month of June, as this month is so difficult. But you get to July, you got the Marlins on the schedule, the Mets on the schedule, the Pirates on the schedule, a bunch of other teams that should be a much easier challenge, the Orioles, than the brutal month they are in the midst of. But they're able to take advantage of a Rockies team coming in on themselves in a bit of a spin. Four straight losses coming into yesterday's game, and Aaron Nola is the man who does the job, as we expected. Nola, outstanding, though. The bullpen did their best to give it up. We'll get to that coming up. But Nola, just absolutely outstanding. 6 2/3 innings, only four hits allowed, 10 strikeouts, and only, zero walks. 10-0 strikeout to walk ratio. Pretty damn impressive from Aaron Nola. Gives up one earned run. Pitches into the 6 2/3, as I said. But it was a spot where he's at about, 102 pitches with one out in the sixth. And Gabe kept him in for one more batter. And Nola able to strike out Ian Desmond. Proved to be the right call. And then Gabe pulls him. And Adubray Ramos comes in. Gives up a single, immediately. And you're like, uh-oh. So allowing a run as there are runners on first and third. But then Ramos with a big time strikeout to get out of the inning, really just a kind of just bared down in that spot and was like, all right, you got that one. I wasn't focusing, and just a really nice job after that to get out of that inning. The bullpen would struggle. Tommy Hunter, a nice eighth inning, gave up a hit, a double, but able to get out of it otherwise. But the ninth would come along. We'll get to that, though. The Phillies able to have a lead in the ninth, thanks mostly in part to a guy who has struggled immensely, but Mr. Scott Kingery gets him going early and often as he hits a three-run home run in the first inning. His first home run in 2 months of play is now he has three on the season. Nice to see Kingery. I know we've heard Gabe Kapler talk a lot about how Scott's swinging a hot bat, or, you know, not swinging a hot bat, but looking better with the swings, that he feels good about that, where the swing is at, even if the results aren't quite there yet. And we started to see a little bit of that last night, hopefully, as Kingery dropped to the 5-0. I think maybe a little bit less pressure there in the 3-0 than in the 3-0. But Kingery really did look good last night. That the home run, just a shot, a rocket off his bat to left field, a three-run bomb to get it going early, and then also hits a sacrifice fly with the bases loaded later, where it was just a really tough pitch to get a piece of, and he was able to kind of muscle it, an inside pitch to center field just deep enough to get a run. And 4-1, every run would prove to be precious last night, as we would find out. But Kingery responsible for 4 of the 5. The Phillies would add an insurance run later in the game in the 8th inning, which all started out with an Odubel Herrera strikeout turned single, essentially, right? When the pass ball, and he's able to get to first base and ends up scoring a run on a Valentin single. And nice to see the team play with some aggressiveness there. We've talked a lot about how this team needs to be aggressive on the base paths. They need to manufacture runs. And while they got the bulk of their runs on a 3-run home run last night, I think the offense in general really had a bounce-back type of performance. John Gray is a hot and cold kind of pitcher, but he certainly has stuff, and had it at times last night, but also struggled with his control. The Phillies were able to take advantage of that, and they had really good at bats last night. It felt like they were grinding out at bats. It felt like guys were going up there with an approach, and Rhys Hoskins set the tone with 2 walks in his first 2 at bats and 2 good at bats. Odubel Herrera had better at-bats. Didn't have a lot to show for it, but had better at-bats. Kingery, obviously better at-bats. J.P. Crawford had some nice at-bats. The Good Fight had tweeted out heading into yesterday, Kingery in his first 7 games of the season batted .043 with an .083 on base percentage and an .043 slugging, 1-for-23 with 8 strikeouts. In his last 19 games, bookending his injury, this is from the Good Fight, .264 average, .350 on base, .453 slugging with only 16 strikeouts in 62 at-bats, where he had 8-25 before. So, look, he's not lighting the world on fire, but he is definitely looking more comfortable at the plate, and I think he's a better hitter right now than Mike Gianfranco, and I think that's why you're seeing him. Not only is he a better defender, but right now I think he's at least a better getting on base than Mike Gianfranco is, and that's something this offense needs. They need guys who are going to get on base and be aggressive, and we've seen him run the base as well. So stole a base last night as well. So I'm excited about Crawford being back. I think he adds a spark this team needs, and a bit of a swagger too for someone who, you know, maybe is not had the major league success that others have. He carries himself well in my mind. So I've been happy to see what we're getting from Crawford. And then, of course, again, Kingery. Shout out Scotty Kingery for he had a great game last night, and you hope it carries on. And he had a really nice play in the first inning, too, saving a run defensively. The runner on third, Nolan Arenado, kind of hits a really high chopper that Crawford, coming to his left at third base, it kind of just goes over his head, and Kingery's behind him, coming over from short, makes a really nice high stab at the ball, looks the runner back to third, and fires over to first to get the out. It was a really nice play and saved a run. And again, a game where every run would count, we might as well get to it. The Phillies again up 5-1 heading into the 9th inning. And then that's when all hell broke loose as Luis Garcia starts off the inning and could not have struggled more. Garcia loads the bases with no outs, allows an RBI single, 5-1. You're sitting there and you're like, all right, bases loaded, no out, 5-1. Not cool. And so he allows a single, 5-2. even more not cool. And I'm starting to stress because basically if the Phillies lose this game, it's going to ruin my night. I know I'm talking about this team tomorrow. I know that I need this team to win back-to-back games. I love this team. I want this team to be competitive this year. And this is a series I feel like they need to win. And it's you know, got that feeling, right? We've had that feeling this year. How many times have we had that feeling this year where this team has a game in their hands and then all of a sudden it just slips right through their fingers? So Garcia allows the single, 5-2, bases loaded, no outs. And Gabe goes to Sir Anthony. I think Gabe didn't want to go to Sir Anthony. Sir Anthony, 41 pitches in their last game. Granted, the off day helps, but the kid's been used a lot already. And he's someone who's coming up from the minors. Is not someone who's used to maybe as heavy a workload. Granted, I know he used to be a starter, but at the same time, he has been converted to a reliever for at least a little while. So, you know, asking him to come in and give this much, especially this high leverage stuff, is tough. And I think Gabe wanted to avoid it. He gives Garcia the chance to start the ninth, and Garcia is unable to get it done. So Sir Anthony has to come in, which also says a lot about this bullpen and where Gabe feels kind of comfortable, and that he has no one else that he feels comfortable going into that spot. And you wonder what he could do if Sir Anthony was not available at all that game, and how this bullpen used to be a kind of unit where we felt we could count on a lot of different guys, and now it just feels like Sir Anthony is the guy. And Sir Anthony certainly didn't have his best stuff, but the 99-mile-per-hour heat was there when he needed it. And he allows an RBI single right off the bat, and you're starting to freak out. 5-3, then a sack fly on a ball that just, it looked like it was going to go out. It was one of those where you're just like, oh my goodness, dude. It was DJ LeMay who just smokes one to left field, and it did not, it fell just short of the warning track. But watching on TV, it definitely felt like, oh goodness. And sack fly, 5-4. First and second with only one out, and I am freaking out at this point. And Charlie Blackmon goes right after the first pitcher Anthony throws and just laces one to right field. Just smokes it. But he hit it really hard and right to the right fielder. And it, you know, no chance for the guy at second to tag up. But it got caught. And so two outs now. And of course, coming to the plate is one of the best hitters in baseball, Nolan Arenado. Sir Anthony gets him down 0-2, 1-2. And man, he throws a pitch right on the inside part of the plate, and Arenado looked like he went around. You couldn't really tell. He gets called out by the home plate umpire. He was arguing it, but we didn't care. The umpires walked off the field, and man, my heart started beating again, because that was, again, this team, as we've talked about, and we saw one of them last week with the loss in Chicago, the Jason Hayward Grand Slam game, where this game, it was over. The Phillies had won the game, and then all of a sudden it was ripped out of your hands. This one might have been worse if it had been complete. I mean, 5-1 ending into the ninth. Granted, this one at home, so the Phillies would have had a chance to bat and maybe could have done something. Who knows? But regardless, it was a scary, scary ninth inning, but the team holds together. The resolve as a team holds, and they are able to come out victorious. 34th win of the season, 34-30. Just a thriller of a game. It really was a fun one to watch, even though it got scary there at the end. It was fun to watch Nola deal. Nola, when he's just out there doing his thing, and at certain times he's Maddox-esque almost, like kind of Greg Maddox-like in the way his ball moves and the ability to spot it where he wants it to go. But he has swing and miss stuff, as we saw. I mean, the 10 strikeouts was so impressive. And it got that huge strikeout when he needed it to help them get out of that tough seventh inning there. So just a terrific outing from Nolan again. The offense, while they only produced 5 runs, I felt like it was a bounce-back performance. I felt like the day off helped, and whatever John Mailey and Gabe and the whole staff have been doing, I think it worked last night. And, you know, Michael Franco on the bench again, and I think it was the right call as Crawford had some good at-bats, and Santana had really good at-bats, got on base a few times. Again, a lot of walks, five walks as a team, and Rees had good at-bats, Odubel had slightly better at-bats. It looked like the message got through and there was a different approach there, and you had to feel good about how they looked. And hopefully will again tonight against Tyler Anderson as game two of the Rockies series goes down. Nick Pivetta against Tyler Anderson. We'll get to that in just a few minutes as we move on. I wanted to bring it up. I brought it up very at the end of yesterday's show very quickly, but the positivity of Gabe Kapler, as it seems like people are starting to get a little irked that you never see another side of Kapler. I want to get into that coming up, as well as a quick mention. The All-Star voting is out, and teaser, the Phillies are not doing great in terms of the All-Star voting, and they are not getting out and getting voted for, but we'll get into that as well. And again, look ahead to tonight's Tyler Anderson versus Nick Pivetta clash down there at Citizens Bank Park. It's Phillies Today, James Seltzer. We're coming right back. We are back, Phillies Today, James Seltzer, as we look at tonight, a Phillies-Rockies game two. Tyler Anderson, the lefty for with the Rockies, taking on Nick Pivetta for the Phillies, an advantage for the Phils in that spot. Tyler Anderson, a guy who I actually like whenever I watch him pitch, and I, being an obsessive baseball fan, watch way too much Rockies and other team baseball in general, as I have the MLB package. And for some reason, I end up watching a lot of Rockies games. I don't know why. I think I like watching the ball fly out of Coors Field. But I like the way Tyler Anderson pitches. I think he's a pretty good pitcher, but for some reason, the numbers never seem to add up to what I see. So small sample size, all that stuff. But regardless, nice matchup for the Phils yet again, as Pivetta hopefully getting back at home has looked better as of late, but certainly has had some struggles here and there. Hopefully he can get back on track and really give us a Nick Pivetta type game that we've seen from him multiple times, obviously, this season, and the high-end Pivetta is that hopefully they can get this going. They won their first back-to-back game since May 17th. Time to win three in a row and take a series, as it's been forever for that as well. Quickly, before we look ahead and before we look at the All-Star voting, I wanted to mention the Gabe Kapler thing, as it started to become a talking point the last few days that Gabe Kapler's positivity is starting to get on people's nerves. And I think the crux of it is the concept of the team getting their butts whooped and then Kapler coming out in the post-game press conferences and talking about, well, I thought this was good and we did well at running the bases in the sixth inning and I thought Jorge had some good at-bats and all that. And as a premise, I get that. I get that it can be frustrating if you're covering a team or if you're listening to Gabe Kapler's post-game press conference every night, and even if you're a fan doing that, that it can get old at times, and it can seem disingenuous when you're not coming out and saying, yeah, man, they kicked our butts. This was bad. But I just think that, and I understand it, and I'm okay with I think that Kapler's philosophy is that he doesn't really want to bash his guys in public. And I as much as we want him to be honest with us and tell us exactly how he feels about something that should anger anyone, we want him to be angry, I think is what it is at times. But I think that's just not his style. I think, you know, to put it simply, I think he wants to be positive and to shine a positive light on what his guys have done well in a certain situation rather than what they do bad. And I think that's going to wear on people, and I understand it. It doesn't bother me as much. As a general philosophy, I support the idea that he would rather not bash his guys in public than bash them. I know that sounds kind of simple, but I totally support a head coach or a manager or a whatever in any sport who wants to make sure that he has his guys' backs and that doesn't feel it's productive to go to the media to talk about his guys when he wants to keep stuff in-house, especially as a guy who was a former player for so long in the league. So I understand it, and I have no problem with it personally, but I think it's going to wear on people, and I understand that feeling of it being disingenuous. But at least in my eyes, I think that it's very rarely productive for players in public. Players, if they feel like you come to them like a man, you talk to them, for the most part, I think it's going to help. I feel like it should be a last resort. If a player is just not receiving the message you're giving them, and then there's no other way you can get through to them, then sure, maybe you go and you blast them and you try and light a fire under them. But in my mind, I think that for the most part, Kapler is handling this correctly, and that there's no reason to really rip guys. And you could say, we have to play better, we have to do this better. I think that stuff could maybe help mollify or pacify some of the people who are looking for blood, as it were, or whatever it is. But I also think that, for me at least, I support the idea that Kapler is not into airing his dirty laundry out there. And I just don't see how it's productive to go out there unless, again, the guy needs a kick in the butt. And I feel like that's a rare occurrence with professional athletes, where the only way you can get them to buy into what you're doing is to kick him in the butt through the media. All right, real quick, a quick mention of the All-Star ballots, as the leaders in the specific categories were released. And looking at the National League, there are not going to be any Phillies starting in the All-Star game unless the guy who pitched yesterday, Mr. Aaron Nola, takes the hill. As right now, you look at the leaders at each of the positions, and it's hard to argue. Look, it's not like, other than Odubel Herrera, who is currently ninth in the All-Star voting for outfielders, we'll get to the guys here in front of him, but other than Odubel, there's no one who has a real case to be a starter other than Aaron Nola, and that is something the fans don't vote for. So I don't know. We'll see. As of right now, if you had to ask me who will be the Phillies All-Star or All-Stars, I would say Aaron Nola's a lock. I would say Odubel Herrera has a solid chance, but he needs to pick it up. If he stays this cold for the next couple weeks, he's going to be in trouble, but I think he has a real chance. And then I think Sir Anthony Dominguez has a chance, though. I think there are a few other guys who are doing what Sir Anthony's done who'll get the nod before him, some veterans, Archie Bradley type guys, or Josh Hader will definitely make the team. But I do think that if they really cared about winning the All-Star game, right, you do a competitive advantage. And bringing guys like that, the middle relievers who are going to type, you know, pitch an inning or two in a game of guys who pitch an inning or two. But regardless, that is a discussion for another day. But looking at the first baseman in the National League, Freddie Freeman, your leader, hard to argue with that. And the way the vote totals are going, it looks like he's going to win in a walk. And I think he is maybe the most underrated player in the game right now. Just a terrific hitter. You also have a Brave at second base, Ozzie Albies, who has been just outstanding. He's one of those guys that you are not excited to see in Atlanta for the next decade or whatever, as leading the National League in extra base hits, I believe, still. He has just been an outstanding. I think he's only 21 years old, too. It's just like, come on, man. He's way too good. So that's a bummer. Both those guys. It's really actually quite depressing. This exercise has made me upset already. Nolan Arenado at third. Hard to argue with that. Looks like he'll hang on to that one, though. Javi Baez, by the way, close to second base. And Scooter Gennett also in the running there from the vote perspective. He'll make the team, I think. It's amazing how good Scooter Gennett is. What happened? Arenado looks like he's going to walk at third base. Brandon Crawford looks like he's going to win at shortstop, and looks like that is very well deserved. He's been amazing. And then Buster Posey at catcher, not as far ahead of Wilson Contreras or Kurt Suzuki as you'd expect, but still out in front. And then in the outfield, Bryce Harper, who got hit by two pitches yesterday against the Yankees, by the way, had to leave the game after the second one. Who knows where that goes? But future Philly Bryce Harper, you could say. And Nick Markakis, your top two leaders, they are locked. Markakis just a few votes behind Harper. Wow, unexpected there. And then Matt Kemp also in line as of now. Charlie Blackmon not that far behind him. And Ronald Acuna Jr., who is now hurt, the Braves outfielder. So, again, no Phillies going to start. Hopefully, more than Aaron Nola make it. I think as of right now, Aaron Nola, your only definitive lock to make the roster, as, of course, every team must have one representative. All right, tonight, Nick Pivetta on the other guy who won't make the All-Star game, nor should he with his numbers, but has certainly at times this season pitched like an All-Star and pitched far better than I ever expected he could. Big spot here for him as he is kind of was really on a hot streak for a little while there and has kind of not regressed, but has been not quite what we saw over that streak over his last few starts. Again, maybe a bit of a dead arm period or whatever, but you hope he can come back tonight and bring it against the Rockies lineup that hopefully I think he should be able to have some success against. And again, Tyler Anderson, I think a guy the Phillies can take advantage of, a lefty who I like, but also seems to get himself into trouble with some walks and some hard hit balls and all that. So hopefully the Phillies can take advantage of it and win three straight for the first time in a while and get back on that winning series track as they head into a day game on Thursday to wrap up this series. So hopefully that one is for the sweep and not just for the series win, but either way, the Phillies in good shape, two straight wins, 34-30 on the season, and a big one tonight. I'll be back to talk about that one tomorrow, but keep it here. We got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.